And we welcome you into another edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast here on the Hoopball Podcast Network. I am Damian Barling along with your host, Jill Edge. That's all I got. That's all I got, dude. Like,
we can't even get excited.
I mean, not that we will present the information and we'll talk about our favorite team, but goodness gracious, Jilly, they make this hard. Seven straight losses for the Kings. And last night was depending on when you're listening to this one, let me be phrase this better. The last one against the Pelicans sure was an interesting one, with Rashawn Holmes only playing 16 minutes and leaving with a hamstring issue. Buddy Hield being a late scratch. Buddy Hield does not miss games very often. There's a million. No,
I will say about that, and I think that is one thing that I would say, at least a general manager, maybe a new one coming in, where, you know, we always had that discussion, Bogey, Buddy, like, you know, who you want to do it. Well, Bogey's played 30 games this year, and Buddy's played 52. Like, no matter what we say on the court, being available to play is a huge importance, right? We're seeing that with Marvin Bagley as well. So, as much as you know, that we throw on Buddy and all that stuff, his body, knock on wood, has been very reliable. And if you're going to be paying that much money to someone, like, that was always our worry, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if they can play great basketball, but if you're only getting for half the season, that's not necessarily going to kick you up a notch anywhere. To me, if we had Bogey and he had only played 30 games this year, we're probably still in the same position. Yeah. I don't see, you know what I mean? Like, that's, but I've seen that, you know, thrown around a lot again, is because Bogey's back and playing better. And I'm super happy for the guy. But also remember, he's only played in 30 games this year. But right now he's playing exactly when they need him, and they have half their team out. You know, Atlanta does as well. But
let's not forget either. Like, it, of course, it's easy to say those types of things. It wasn't an either or situation. It wasn't like, no, well, we want Buddy or Bogey, and we picked Buddy.
But on a bad team, you don't want to keep having, you know, $16 to $20 million contracts. Same issue with Rashawn Holmes coming up this year, which is why I think when people took Monty saying value buys at the deadline, to me, my definition of that is, these are the kind of contracts we want to surround our De'Aaron Fox, Halliburton of the future, who we're going to be paying in, you know, the 20s. And maybe if you can trade for that star, then you have to surround them with the value buys of the lower end of contracts, right? And that's how you fill out your team. You can't keep paying $20 million to your core, which isn't good.
Right.
Together. Like, right. I mean, at some point you have to stop overpaying just because we love these players. Like, it doesn't, and I know, you know, it doesn't necessarily help our cap situation, you know, for next season necessarily. Plenty of stuff can happen during the offseason. But again, Rome wasn't built in a day. The Kings aren't going to be, you know, turn around in 4 month span and one trade deadline. Like, and if anyone thought that, you know, this team would completely change within that short period of time, I mean, yes, it to me, it's just not that realistic, especially when your guys are not playing well. I mean, right, we can't keep saying that they missed out on this sell high moments. When you look at the moves that were made over the trade deadline, the only person that sold high was Orlando on Vucevic, and that guy's an all-star. You don't have that on your team. Yeah. Boston, yes, was rumored to be offering all this stuff. Yet what they did was use their trade exception and trade for younger players. They didn't take on any extra money. So again, where are these sell high deals that were supposed to, right? Well, and Marcus Smart was coming back, right? But they went on their losing streak and said, hey, if we're on this losing streak and we know we're not going to win this year, why are we going to go take on extra money, give up picks, right? Just because a reporter is saying that is out there does not mean then that's really what is out there. Halliburton right now is having to, you know, was talking about the draft again, and the same people that were saying all these Barnes and, you know, and Buddy deals were out there are the same people that Halliburton are saying got his whole draft day wrong, right? Mm-hmm. When that was reported after draft. So again, you still have to remember to take things with a grain of salt, and it's not always what you necessarily thought it would be. Yes, would this team like to get rid of money? But also, there's nothing that has shown me that those deals were actually really there. Mm-hmm. I'm still not convinced that those sell high deals were there. And as a fan base, you can't keep trashing these players and then expect someone to want to take on their $20 million contract. Right. Like that, I mean, in the same sentence, that's not necessarily realistic either. Some of these contracts will be a little bit more palatable next season as they go down again. That's the one great thing that Ken and Vlade did, was they made these contracts decrease in value. So for the tank crew that keeps saying, you know, you need to have the long-term plan, well, wait one more year for these contracts to go down a little bit, and maybe you will end up getting more than what was offered this last year. You know what I mean? Like you could have a better deal, you know, coming up. It's not that we necessarily had a better deal 2 days ago. We don't know. And that's kind of the problem too. It's all speculation. And we're looking at anything that we can, you know, any mud we can throw at this point, or tomatoes or anything, because nothing's just going right.
Yeah, but it's because it's frustrating. So we've got to direct our anger somewhere. And if it's directing it at the trade deadline for not moving Harrison Barnes, if it's directing it at, you know, I started with Buddy Hield mentioning, you know, with the Pelicans game being the most recent game at the time we're recording this here on Tuesday, April 13th, that we talked about this a lot today on ESPN 1320. I don't want to say, did you notice? Do you think the game would have been different if Buddy played?
I think you would hit more threes, but I mean, other than that, based on how he's been playing, no.
That's the thing. Like that's like the like you even say, you know, the Kings started 0-14. Yeah, Buddy would have been in that 0-14. Like Buddy's not the team that breaks the team shooting slump. He's not the team that snaps. He's not the guy that snaps the team out of it. He's normally the guy that gets the team in it. So I thought
right. And this is my thing, right? Defensive rating when Buddy's on the court is 118, when he's off 112. Defensively, I thought they looked a little bit better that game. It wasn't perfect, but to me, had they been hitting their shots, obviously you're not, to me, I didn't think they were going down 26 points because of their defense. To me, they couldn't even hit a two. Like they just were not hitting anything.
They were playing really well in the first part of the first quarter. And then around the 4 minute mark of the first quarter, like everything went to hell for them.
Yeah.
And
once you got Holmes, who we then found out was hurt, who was having to play as, you know, half a man, you saw the defense tighten up a little bit too. I mean, so it's, yeah, I thought yesterday, no, he was hurt.
No, I mean, you say the defense tightened up when he left the game.
Because he was hurt. He was trying to play hurt.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
His explosiveness yesterday. And you could tell, I was watching, he was like, did some hop skips.
Oh, for sure.
And where it was like running down the court. And I'm like, I thought it was an ankle maybe, and he was trying to work that out. But I'm saying, no, like I appreciate him. He was trying, but he wasn't his normal explosive self. And so, I mean, you still had your normal defensive, yes, issues on the perimeter and everything else. But I felt bad for Harrison Barnes having to guard Zion. Like, I don't care what you do. That's not a winning strategy, right? And when Jones came in, you saw a body. It was like, hey.
I've felt bad for Harrison Barnes for like 3 weeks. I just feel bad for the position that he's in. Like the literal position It's tough. And then Zion Williamson, obviously, it's difficult for anybody to guard Zion Williamson. It's really difficult for a guy who's completely playing out of position to guard Zion Williamson, who looks like he's obviously not. It very much looks like he's twice Harrison's size.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, and that's the thing is that I don't think that Buddy being there would have made, right? That wouldn't have changed like your mismatches of what's going on. And really he would have been on Ingram, and that's not a favorable matchup either. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know.
Ingram had 34 last night. Their studs played like studs. Like they played, they didn't play. I mean, New Orleans, you know, Stan Van and Griff and those guys, they got to be thrilled because they didn't really play great last night. And they got away. Like that was a game they needed to have. Like this, the
and
King
they
season,
multiple people out.
Yeah. The King, I mean, Lonzo was out. Like there were a number of guys out. But the King
their
season,
their two
is,
main point guards are out. Yeah.
Is pretty besides much done.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Pelicans are still fighting. Like they that game meant a lot to him. I'm not trying to say that it didn't mean anything to the Kings. It did, but like that game meant something for the Pelicans
right.
moving forward.
And see, this is it. Right. And this is where my thing, and I said this yesterday too, was to me, your season is that where it's at. And you released, right, a young wing player who wasn't playing, but you still had him under contract for next year, right? And you sign a guy to a 10-day because you're saying your length isn't there and the physicality. Play the guy that you release somebody for, like to mm-hmm. and not put Whiteside yeah. in. Like at this point, come on. Like, why did you release a guy if you're not even going to play the guy that you signed him for? Right? I mean, that's release Whiteside then, right? Yeah. At this point, I still am shocked they didn't do that before the deadline for him to be able to go to a playoff team. I get that he's, you know, this funny locker room guy. But again, how many times we have to keep saying these random journeymen should not be these that important necessarily at this point to your locker room when you're paying guys what you're paying already at this point. If we're releasing young guys just because we need to have him as a locker room guy, that I don't get it. I don't know why else he's still here because he's hurt at this point, like off and on. And I don't see him being as part of the future. I don't know. Maybe watch him come back next year. I have no idea, but.
What about this? You're talking about Hassan Whiteside, and obviously we know, you know, which I think this is a question Kings fans have to start asking
Justin
themselves.
Justin James, anybody? Yeah.
With 18 games left in the season, I don't know that we're going to see Robert Woodard and Jamias Ramsey. I know that's a pipe dream of Kings fans. Like, this is what we're going to see. This maybe the young guys will get a run. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and I've said this before, I wouldn't be shocked just based on the comments they continually keep making of these guys. Their only legitimate playing time throughout this year so far has been the bubble or the gubble, whatever they want to call it. They didn't have they didn't have the preseason. They're not getting their normal practice, you know, that any kind of comfort or even in practice where they can show these coaches, right? That, mm-hmm. hey, like I'm improving and stuff. Yeah. And you're not able to just send them down and then come play them, you know, to Stockton or play them back up. Like and they're both just came back from injury too. I don't know if they're even being careful of that. But at this point, the way that Walton works his lineups anyways, it's not totally shocking to me that he's not throwing these guys out there at this point. And you know what? As much as people say they want to see him play, I know as soon as they go on and if they had bad stuff, you would be going on and saying, oh my God, I thought he was so much better or Walt or Luke has already damaged them. I don't know. People can say that they're over it and they want to see these guys anyways, but I wouldn't put it past them, you know, complaining about how they're played. But I can understand a coach not necessarily wanting to throw them out. But the other part of me also wants to see what's there. But I know there's a fine line that you've heard. Even Jaeger said this too, was you don't want to ruin young guys' confidence too fast either, that there's a fine line between, you know, how you're doing it. And because they're not able to prove themselves in the G League consistently, right? You saw it for a little bit, but you're not seeing it consistent year round, and very little practice that I don't know. I'm just not sure. But to me, it doesn't mean that they're not in the Kings' future. Like, Monty signed them to multi-year deals. Like, obviously, he felt a certain way about those guys. Yeah. So maybe he's taking more time to look at the rest of the roster and not even those guys, that he's comfortable in what he has with them for the next couple of years, and he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do with the current guys here. I mean, that wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, and that goes to a season-long conversation.
And if Luke's playing for his job, right, he's not going to throw those guys out there either. So, exactly. You know, I mean.
Exactly. We've been together too long. You start reading my mind and know exactly where I'm going. Like, yeah, if that's 100%, whether the Kings make the playoffs or not, Luke has to win as many games as possible. And I don't know that there's, unless someone comes to him and says, hey, big fella, Gonna need to see Robert Woodard and Jamias Rams. Gonna need to see those guys. And truthfully, I don't believe that's gonna happen. I know people have speculated. I know even my partner thinks that maybe the reason Buddy Hield hasn't been moved to the bench, maybe the reason that Tyrese Haliburton was moved to the bench instead of Buddy, is that he was told not to move Buddy to the bench. I don't co-sign that.
I think they're officially kicked out of anything, you know, like that they're officially eliminated. That might. If it's, yeah, there's like two weeks left and you're eliminated, maybe. But I also don't see these players accepting being just sat down, you know?
Right, yeah, either. And that's all. Like at that point, we're talking about like four or five games at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like we're talking about, and not only are we talking about four or five games, we're talking about a really rough 2.5 weeks before we get there. Of course, we're in the midst of a really rough 2.5 weeks. But it would just have to stay on this track, you know, with Washington not going the Kings' way. And I know the pro tank crowd is really rooting for Washington to get that one, because that actually could have some ramifications in terms of the standings. Because whatever you want from this Kings season, if you want the tank as many as possible, the fact is the Kings are like better than, as bad as it feels like they are, they're better than like 10 teams.
Yeah, I think they're 9 right now.
Yeah, but it's very close.
Yeah,
yeah, and Washington is one of those ones that's really close.
But they're only 9 because of that last win streak. I mean, and it's right. You know what I mean. As much as people want to say, you know, it is what it is. You know, had they not had that win streak, it's that. And again, I'm not necessarily totally sold on that. They had the win streak, and all of a sudden, everyone within that front office thought that things totally changed the corner. As much as people want to speculate that, I'm not totally sold. Maybe the owner was, but I'm not sold that necessarily the front office changed gears that quick. I like to think that these guys that have been around the league on that they have a little bit more sense than that. But again, who knows? But you know what? And people don't talk enough about how much the owners want the playoff money too. I mean, that money goes right to them.
Yeah.
And Vivek has not had that once. I mean, when you're hurting, like you're hurting, doesn't surprise me. And every player on that team, you could hear it in Fox and Haliburton when they talk, regardless of what's on the court, you can hear them after every game. Especially Haliburton now. Pissed off that I've never lost like this before. And right, you hear that every time when we get these draft picks, right? Between whether it was DeMarcus, Fox, that they're like, they've never gone anything through like this. And I think as much as we talk about learning experiences and all that, these guys have never experienced losing like this, and they've never had to learn how to turn it around, right? Mm-hmm. Or to stop a bad flow. They've always been the best of the best that's out there. And so whoever, one of these guys that can figure out the secret to not losing after they've never lost before, they will be, you know, the holders of the key, you know, for the last 15 years. But I don't think that's really ever talked about enough either. Is you hear that all the time from these guys. I've never experienced this before, and I'm trying to figure out what it takes to undo this.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a code that has not yet been cracked. Can you recall? I'm actually trying to think before I ask the question. Can you recall a season like this? Obviously, Kings fans, we've been through horrendous seasons before, but one where, remember, if you can remember this far back, it's ages ago. Remember they started the season 3-1, and it was like, wow, the defensive effort is there. They look better. Then they lost like 9 of 11, I think. And so then the win streak, lose streak, win streak, lose streak.
That graphic last week that had,
oh my
like
gosh.
That had the lines, and it was literally that blue line just died. And it was so the first two weeks, because I think I was in Colorado, right, when they played Denver and we had that win. It was New Year's, and they were average. They just had to be average on defense. Their offense is good enough that they don't even have to be a top defensive team. They could just be average and they'd be at a 500 basketball club. That's what's frustrating too. You just have to be average, but no, we're the league worst in history. Like there's no middle ground here. Like it's just
Kings aim high, baby. They aim high.
You just had to be average. And so that you could see on that chart that they were literally just in the middle, and then it shot down, and then it just flatlined. Like there were no spikes either in that. It was just
they literally died.
It literally was a straight flatline.
They were taking off life support, and it was over. I love that you say all we needed you to do was be average. Just this week, all we needed you to do was to be the worst team in the Western Conference and the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Now Golden State did some things along the way that threw off these plans, but you would have been within a game of Golden State had you done that.
Right. Nope. So listen to these, the defensive rating, right? So for, we've seen Walton, he has that, what, 9-10 man rotation, mostly 9 when Bagley's healthy and you're going. So between Fox, Buddy, Barnes, Holmes, Hallie, Bagley, that was your core that was playing probably what 25, minutes and up. So this is your defensive rating this season. This is why it's so bad. Fox 117.8, Buddy 118.2, Barnes 115.9, Holmes 116.5, Hallie 116.2, Bagley 119.3. That is your main group. And there's not one under 115 for the season. So we go 2 years back. So Jaeger's last season, Fox is 109. Buddy's 110. Barnes in his 23 games was 110. Holmes wasn't here. Hallie wasn't here. And Bagley was 111. Bagley was 111 his rookie year. He's 119 right now. Fox last year, 114. Buddy, 111.
Gracie is not feeling these defensive ratings whatsoever. I can't blame her. Gracie is speaking for literally every Kings fan when she hears those defensive rankings.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She is not having it. Like, she does not want to hear any more about defensive ratings and where the Kings are, because we have all sat through this. We have watched it. And we know how bad they are defensively. It is, as you said,
oh my gosh, stop.
Historically,
there's a delivery driver. But yes, so
the delivery Barnes driver has a Buddy Hield jersey on. That's what it is. The driver's got a Buddy Hield jersey on.
But yeah, so in 3 years, Bagley went from 111 to 114 to 119.
Jeez.
Barnes went from 110, 111 to 115. Buddy 110, 111, 118. Fox 109, 114, 117. Doesn't matter what you do on offense, you can't physically be that bad on defense and have any shot. Like that is such a steep drop off, and why you flatlined. Like,
it's amazing. It's amazing though, hearing you give those for the last 3 years, because we knew the Kings were bad defensively with Jaeger. Like, and Dave knew that Jaeger knew that they were bad defensively.
And what was his big thing? I rewatched one of his interviews for the preseason of that year. And his thing was, I still have to keep it simple for them because they can't quite grasp going any farther at this point. So I have to keep it simple. Again, what do we always say about coaching, right? You have to be able to adjust. He's saying, I would love to be able to do, you know, B through Z, but I have to keep it at A because I know these guys just can't get there yet. We're seeing those same things where Luke is not able to implement B through Z, you know, but he's still trying to get there. And I get it. And he even said that last year, right? We're slowing it down. We have to do it this way so that we can win a playoff series. Well, let's just get to the playoffs first before we figure out how to win a playoff series. I mean, it's you got to get to 500 and get there first before you can, right, go up the ladder to these other steps. And I get that might frustrate people because that's, oh, well, that's not a sustainable, you know, long-term. Well, either is what we're doing because these guys clearly can't implement anything that they're trying to show them at this point. And players are saying that, right? Coaches are telling us to do this and we can't do it. So figure out a way to simplify it like Jaeger had to do for these guys. And he was very vocal about, I can't do what I need to do, so I need to simplify it. And if it works, great. You know, if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you can't deny that keeping it simple apparently worked for this group. And it's just,
well,
sadly, the way it
is. It worked in comparison to where they are now.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
they were a bad defensive team.
We got them the closest to 500 where they were going to get, right? I mean, that's...
Which is literally how you started this whole monologue you just went on.
Yeah.
As we just, that's it. Just be average. Don't be the worst in history. Just be average and your offense is good enough where you'll be able to be what Jill just said. You'll be able to be around 500. But
And I'm not even putting all the blame on the coaches. I think these players have, and we've said this before, have plenty of blame. But at some point, the two need to come together and say, what we're currently doing is not working. Or, hey, like, I physically just can't get it. So let's figure out a way that's going to be, you know, sustainable for this group. Because clearly what's going on is not. I mean, that's just... that was how it was for me when I played basketball and softball growing up, like competitively. And then I coached in high school. Like, we had to adjust based on the team we had. Like, there's no way around it. So I refuse to believe that the two cannot, there can't be adjustments made by either a coach or player. Like, I refuse to be sold that line that, there can be no adjustments made by anybody at all, anywhere.
Me too, sister. I'm not buying it either. Can you remember a Kings season like this where it has so many, you know, the 3-1 start, the 9-11 losing, the, was it 6-7 game win streak followed, or 7-8, 7-9 followed by a 9-game losing streak. And then another win streak here followed by 7, and at the moment of this recording, counting?
Well, last year was kind of up and down, and then they just went really hot at the end, but then went way back down in the bubble.
Yeah.
So that kind of similar. Jaeger's last season was just straight. They were hot at the beginning, you know, for the first half of the season, and then
gone.
They couldn't sustain it. And
I remember last year.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's the whole, they gave up on the coach. See, this is where I'm like the whole thing of they gave up on the coach that year because they didn't like him.
Mm. But
just because they like him this year, I'm supposed to believe that what I'm seeing is them not giving up.
And I'll echo what Kenny says, what Jason Jones says. What the hell has this roster ever done to earn the right to depict their coach?
And that was the first mistake made, right? That these players now think that they're entitled to something, right? Because they're
I would
not
argue
just
that wasn't the
like our
first
coach
mistake
now.
Made. But yeah. I get your point. I completely get your point.
When it comes to coaching, I'll say when it comes to that whole.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, yes, and there were, you know, front office issues between Williams and Yeager. But again, but a lot of that stemmed too from failure to agree on who to draft, you know, how they see this team being built. I mean, there was so much into it, but I don't care if the players like the guy or not. I care about how they play on the court. End of the day, honestly, I mean, as a fan, that's, I don't need to be the player to be best friends with the coach, right? As fans, we're watching, you know, wins and losses. And are we seeing this team develop? And you can't sell me that's happening. Okay, great. Offensively, they're doing it, but you still have to be able to play both ways in this game. If you want to, in the West, if you want to succeed, you have to be able to play both ways. We're not in the East. As much as we complain about not being the East, it's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the Kings would, where would the Kings be if they were in the East? They'd be, I mean, the Kings still wouldn't be in the playoffs if they were in the East, or they wouldn't even be in the play-in scenario. They'd be a lot closer. It'd be them in Chicago in the conversation, but they still wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Well, because Washington's two games out of the play-in right now.
Washington's right there. Yeah. Washington, Toronto. I mean, technically there's a handful of teams in it. I'm comfortable in saying Cleveland's not going to do it, but yeah, Toronto, Washington, and Chicago, will be the teams fighting for that 10th spot. The Pacers, I think, are pretty comfortable there at nine or above. What do you think? That was a conversation today, really the last 24 hours, about the play-in game and the play-in tournament concept with Luka Doncic kind of saying, I don't understand why we're doing it. Mark Cuban kind of co-signed it. Of course, they're in the seventh spot now after falling a couple of notches. But how do you feel about the play-in tournament
I don't mind the play-in. My issue is more just the condensed season. In general, the 72 games within this short time frame, like for the Suns coming up, they have 9 games in the next 15 days. Yeah. The Kings have 8 and 17. So you can see like how that's. So I just don't think that's sustainable for these guys, let alone for quite most of these teams. They had a shorter, you know, off season because most of these teams that are in it right now played in the bubble, mm-hmm. In the playoffs. And so I'm ready for them to get rid of, honestly, the Eastern and Western and just have it be the top 16 teams. And then you have your play-ins. I would rather see that. I can understand keeping your divisions because they still like to keep that whole rivalry thing. But to me, if you want to make the league really competitive, I want to see the best 16 teams, not if you're in the East or in the West. I just, because what do people say every year? Oh, the East is just so bad. There's just teams getting in there. And there's so many Western teams that should have been in there. It's
that almost never happens, by the way. Like when you look at it's almost always the top 16 teams. There are very, very few occasions where like a juggernaut, you know, ninth seed was left out in the West. Like that is so overblown. I don't think people actually take the time to look at the standings and realize, that's not as big of a thing as you make it out to be.
I just don't think that it's, I don't know, but how you see it and we see play-in games for baseball, not right. It's wild card. Call it a wild card game. Yeah. You see it in every other sport at this point that's essentially what it is, right?
I just don't like the way it's structured. I don't like the 10 versus 7 and the 8 versus 9. And if this team wins, they're eliminated. If
to
this
me,
team
it should be 9 and 8, 7 shouldn't even be included.
That's it.
Yes.
Like I'm good with that. And I'd even, you know, Kenny had this idea today. Like maybe kind of like the bubble was last year. If you're within 3 games or 2 games or something like that, if you're ahead of the ninth seed by like 8.5 games, that you team doesn't deserve a chance.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't love the structure of it, but when I listened to Mark Cuban today, or when I read Mark Cuban's thing today with Tim McMahon on ESPN, I was like, yeah, I don't like this either. I know it was exciting last year, but the circumstances made it exciting. I don't think those circumstances don't exist. Now, maybe I'll change my mind once the games are played and go, oh my gosh, that was the greatest thing ever. But I get the feeling that when this gets brought back to the table this offseason, it might get shot down.
Yeah.
Or modified.
Or they could have done it when it was a legitimate, healthy season, when there's not going to be, like, we're right now, you could have a team, right, that's eight games up, but they're dealing with players sitting out for COVID. They're sure. dealing with some sort of injury because they played 9 games in 15 days. You know what I mean? Like, there's, or you're now asking people to rest leading up to, because that's how it is. And how much you don't want teams to rest people. It's, if you don't want to get knocked out of a play-in, you might rest some guys, you know, for a couple of days leading up to it. I just would hate to see a team be kicked out for like a small injury or a COVID type, you know, situation during a play-in game that should never have happened. Like you're saying, if they were outside of 4 games or something like that, right. I mean, that's that would be unfortunate that, for as much as those guys gave up during the year, that, you know, that's how it went down.
I'll be interested to see where this goes next year. I'll be interested to see if we get, I'm sure the league is going to push for it. I don't know if there's going to be pushback. Everyone will have numbers to support their idea.
But the owners like it.
Well,
the low owners like it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Money, but I mean, yeah. in terms of the season, and that actually ties in perfectly. I'll be interested to see if we get back to, because right now we're looking at the finals ending like the middle of July, probably. The draft is the end of July. I got to imagine free agency is going to be very, very shortly after that. If the NBA wanted to get back to normal with the belief of come fall 2021, by the grace of God, we're in good shape as it relates to pandemics and vaccines and getting people into the arena. That's not nearly as short of a turnaround as it was last year, but it's still a pretty quick turnaround to get the season back and kind of on schedule, with Christmas Day being the marquee day and February being the trade deadline and the All-Star game and June being the finals and kind of getting back on track. I'll be interested to see if that actually happens.
Yeah, and my only guess of why Cuban's saying this is because they're in that situation.
Oh,
now,
absolutely.
Right? It's
no question.
He was fine with it when he thought that their team would be fine, but they're one where they've been really hurt with injury and they've been hurt by COVID. Like, they're a team that's been knocked out between the two. And so, you know, where people were laughing at them early in the year, right? Because they were below the Kings, and it was like, well, no, look, they're hurt. Yeah. They're injured and they have over half their team out with COVID. Yeah. Like, when they get healthy, they're going to come right back up, which you've seen, they've come back up. But that's taken the toll on them, and they're still, you know, it was enough to knock them down to where they are. But I'm still not sure that most owners still won't want this again, because it still gives them a shot at that playoff money for the likes of the Vivek's and Minnesota, you know, especially with their new owners now, for teams that have been out for a long period of time, I could still see them voting to want this, because that gives them that random outside chance that these teams always need, you know, are looking for, because they can't break that ceiling to get them there.
So in an effort to defend Mark Cuban just a little bit, I agree with you 100%, because Kenny said it's the same thing on ESPN 1320 today, that the reason Mark Cuban is talking about it is because they're in that position. In their defense, I think Luka was asked about it because they're in that position. Yeah. He responded to it. Tim McMahon, knowing, hey, I got Cube's number. Let me see how Mark Cuban feels about this. It's not like everyone just like offered up a comment. It started Luka being asked about it, and then Mark responded. And of course, they're responding now because they're in that position. But I don't think if they had been in the 3 seed, Luka certainly wouldn't have been asked about it. And I don't know if Mark Cuban would have used right now to explain how he feels about it. I feel like he still might have said how he feels about it in the off season or at a later time, especially when it came time to potentially vote on this. but I don't think it would have come up if they were, it wouldn't have come up with either one of them if they were higher in the standings.
100%. Yeah.
It's the Wizards at the Golden One Center on Wednesday. I don't know if you know this, Russell Westbrook averaging a triple double again. But of course that's meaningless. The Phoenix Suns the very next night, in Arizona. So a tough couple of games here, coming up for the Sacramento Kings. Then they'll hit the road. They've got a few there. We've been talking about the Dallas Mavericks. They've got them, and then they'll come back for back-to-back games against the Minnesota Timberwolves. You going to be there April 21st, Golden One Center, Jill Edge in the house?
I will not.
Are you going to try? Are you not interested in going all year?
I get my second shot on Saturday on the 17th. Nice. So anyways, I'll wait at least the 2 weeks. But yeah, at this point, as much as I love them, I just have a really hard, you know, I canceled my season tickets like literally right before this whole pandemic started. Literally that season, and I just couldn't, like, I wanted that extra $300 a month. I was just at this point where I was just like, I can't, I'll go when I want to go, and I'm still watching every game and talking about them. Like, I don't do that any left, but I couldn't do it anymore. Like, it's, you know, it as a younger person, I just could not I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But I mean, I don't know.
I don't think I'm going this season. If I was gonna go, obviously, I have the ability to get in.
Yeah.
If I was gonna go at all this year, I'd go tomorrow. I'd go to see Russ, but it's not gonna be the same. I'm good. I'll watch it at home. Like, I'm fine. But I'm excited for people who have their shots already and have the ability to go see their favorite team play.
Yeah, and I'm happy the season ticket holders that have, for a lot of them that have been paying or already paid, you know, finally get a chance to you know, see some of their money. You know, or if they want to go with their parent or a sibling, or, you know what I mean? Like, that was one of the things that I did it with my dad. You know, we had, just because much of it was, I hated watching losing basketball, but I loved going with my dad, right? Like, that was, that'd been our thing for years. But we both just said, for our mental health, like, we'll watch them together. You know, we can watch it from the couch. Yeah. Like, we'll find ways to do it. But I have seen plenty of people say, like, you know, that's a chance that they're, you know, going to take to go. Sure. See it with their dad or with that. So,
I mean, I understand
for people that want to spend and not want to spend.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, it'll be interesting this off season, next season, I should say. Discretionary income is going to be different, I think, for a lot of people for a long time. Discretionary income is going to be different. And certainly Sacramento Kings basketball is kind of falls into that non-essential discretionary income. But at the same time, I've always recognized what an escape professional sports are. For a lot of people, 100%. Particularly here in Sacramento, with this being the only pro sports team. So hopefully if you want to go, you get the chance to go. For those that don't, hopefully we're packing the Golden One Center strong next season. As always, we appreciate you for tuning in. Make sure you're following Jill at Jill Adge on Twitter. Make sure you're following at ESPN 1320 and at D'Lo and KC on Twitter as well. Subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. Hopefully the next time we're here, it's not like 9, 10, 11 in a row. Hopefully something good has happened for the Sacramento Kings for us to cover. But either way, we'll be back here on the Sacramento Kings podcast as part of the Hoopball Podcast Network.